to the kingdom. Please be blessed as you listen.
We have known and believed and loved that God has to us. We've known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. Everybody say that. God is love. Say that again. God is love. Say it again. God is love. That's who He is. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. You're not walking in love, you're not walking in God. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in love. You're constantly afraid. You're constantly out of love. If you're constantly out of love, the Bible says you're constantly out of God. Because if you walk in love, you walk in God, because God is love. And there's no fear in love. So if you're constantly in fear, you're constantly out of love, Tamika. And if you're constantly out of love, you cannot be in God. Does everybody follow that? Listen to this. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. Fear torments you. It torments you. Ever been afraid at night? Can you go to sleep? You're tormented. Ever been afraid about something that's going to happen on your job the next day? You're thinking about it all over and over. Ever been tormented about you going to see somebody and you don't like them, and you know they found out something, you don't know how they're going to react? You're tormented. You don't know how they're going to treat you. Fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If any man says, I love God, and hates his brother or his sister, he is a liar. But he that loveth not his brother or sister, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother and his sister, Carmen. Also, Ferguson. So last week, we talked about, Brother Antonio, we talked about don't give up on love. Don't give up on it. A lot of people have given up on love. And since God is love, if you give up on love, who are you giving up on? Giving up on God. There's another scripture that we read last week, and I'm just going to read it for your hearing. It's Matthew chapter 24, verse 9 through 12. This is what we started the series out with Tim last week. This is Jesus talking about the end times. The Bible talks about in the last days, how men would be evil. How many of y'all know that men are evil in the world? When you can take your own baby and stick it in the oven, or take it, your own child and molest it and drown it. How many of y'all know people are evil? When a husband can come in with a gun, kill all his kids and his wife, and kill himself, how many of y'all know we live in evil times? But Jesus started talking about this generation. He said, in this generation, he said, you're not going to be able to trust nobody. Bro Antonio, this is what he said. This is Jesus talking about this generation. He was sending to the future. Watch what he said. He said, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. People will try to get you in trouble. They'll try to lay traps for you. Yeah. On your job. Huh, Tim?
Amen.
They see you made a mistake, and instead of going back helping you, they gonna leave it so you can get caught up in a jam. When the supervisor come by. People evil like that. Yeah. Say they'll deliver you up to be afflicted. They'll kill you. Say you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Say many shall be offended. Oh my God. It's hard to listen to me preach as you not get offended. You know that? Because I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about everything. Talking about overweight people too. I offend myself sometimes. But the truth is the truth, right? So you talk about the gays, somebody gonna be offended. Talk about fornicating, somebody gonna be offended. Talk about adultery, divorce, well, I'm divorced, what about me? Somebody gonna be offended. Talk about tax and smoking weed, somebody gonna be, I got one. That's alright, just don't get no more. Somebody gonna be offended. Talk about your children need to grow up in a home with their mom and dad, but I'm a single mom. Somebody gonna be offended. Listen to what he said. He said, people will be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Talking about this evil day, say Paris Hilton, something came up on the news the other day. She was in a van, in a cab, talking about. And some guy showed us some site called Grindr where homosexuals hook up with other homosexuals and for casual sex and about the disease that, you know, that homosexuals have and stuff. And she was just saying how bad it was and, you know, that homosexuals shouldn't be doing that. So somebody taped her and then put it out on the internet. So now she's offended all the homosexuals. Now she got to come back and apologize. This is the world we live in. Everybody's offended at the truth. Listen to this. Say they'll betray you. Say many false prophets shall rise, shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Now we just got to read the scripture that God is love, that if we're going to walk in God, we got to walk in love. But then Jesus said there's going to come a day when you can't hardly trust nobody else. Folks will lie on you, they'll lie to you, they'll do all kind of stuff, trick you up, trip you up, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So then I'm in a dilemma, Tamika, because God says, if I'm going to be his, I've got to walk in love. But then I'm living in a generation where people constantly, what's the OJ song? I ain't even gonna know that, but it's very suitable. They smile in your face. And then what is that? You don't remember this song, D-Lan? Like, oh, they want to take your place? The backstep. Backstep. Do I have any knives? Can you see the knives sticking out? Because I don't have that out. So tell me, how can I love people I can't even trust? I don't know what's going on. You tell me this one day, you tell me that another day, you're sneaking around, you're doing stuff. You're on my Facebook one day, say we go together, next day you change your status, we don't go together, I'm single. What's really going on? I'm on somebody's toes. I must be saying something prophetically. I don't know none of this stuff that I preach. But listen, I want to share this today. Don't give up on love. I don't care what's going on. But I got to bring some balance to this message, because I was telling my wife, I said, you know, you preach this kind of message and then people get twisted up. So I want to bring some balance to what I'm saying. Thank you, Caesar. Thank you. And y'all was bad this morning too. Musicians was awesome. But the humanists, the liberals, the homosexuals have all hijacked many of our terms and changed the meaning of words. So now when I say love, nobody knows what I'm really talking about. Pink just released an album this week on iTunes talking about true love or something. What she know about love? She on the front with her panties on and a garter. So everybody's talking about love. When I was growing up, Prince had a song called Do Me Baby. He said, play with my love. Of course, he wasn't talking about God. So everybody, you know, love is become a joke. Because people have taken these terms, hijacked these terms, and now we don't know what love is, what love means, you know. And no other group has done this as good or as effective as the homosexual movement. Of course, in the 1950s, you know, when I was growing up, we watched the Flintstones. And at the end of the Flintstones, it said, we'll have a gay old time. Super Dave, we didn't know. We didn't think nothing about that. You know, we used to sing that song. Yeah. We'll have a gay old time. The homosexuals hijacked the word gay. Now it means something totally different. You play that cartoon for kids these days, they'll be sitting there laughing. Gay old time, gay. Because they've taken the words and they've changed it. So now when you say words like tolerance, tolerance don't mean what tolerance used to mean. Now it's a gay word. When you say bullying, now it's a whole nother connotation. Stop bullying. How are you going to stop bullying? You stop bullying by the person being bullied, stand up to the bully. That's how you do it. But now it's all this other stuff. What you say, Musa? They'll say, how do you stop cyberbullying? Turn the computer off. I mean, all of this stuff. But it's not about that stuff. It's all the agendas in all of this stuff. So now when you say words like tolerance and bullying and diversity and inclusion and acceptance, even the word love has taken on some new homosexual inclusion meaning in this political correct day. So now you have to clarify every term, everything that you are talking about. Many of my colleagues in ministry are afraid to talk about what I'm talking about today, which is love. You'll never hear them preach or teach on love or acceptance, because that message has been stolen by the gay affirming Unitarian churches. This is the inclusion message. So when you go to those churches, that's pretty much what you hear. When you go to the gay lesbian churches, all they're talking about is how God loves you and how we're supposed to love everyone and accept everyone and just love and acceptance and diversity and God is the rainbow and all this stuff. And so a lot of my guys, my friends, they won't preach on love anymore because they say, oh, well, now that's a gay message. No, love is a Bible message, because we just read it, because the Bible talks about love and the Bible says that God is love. So here's what you're going to get as long as you keep coming to the Kingdom Church. Everybody say balance. Everybody say balance. You're going to get a balanced message. I ain't got to preach anti-Christ, anti-devil, anti-hip-hop, anti-Hollywood, every week I'm anti-something, anti-sex, anti-drugs, anti-tattoo. I don't have to do that every week. Sometimes we're going to talk about those things, but sometimes homosexuals every week. I mean, I don't even think we got none in here. So why are we preaching it every week? We don't have to. At some point, we need to talk about other stuff. Yeah. So you're going to hear a balanced message. Everybody say balance. Everybody say balance. Everybody say balance. So this polarizes the saints. And now the true blue Christians only preach the hardcore. When you go to the hardcore churches, all they're talking about is the Illuminati and blood sacrifice. And some of y'all know about this stuff. YouTube, demonic Hollywood, gay gospel music industry, and the gospel music industry is gay. Let the record show. Anti-abortion, anti-gay, anti-Christ, all of that. Everything is anti-something. And yes, there are a lot of things that we have to preach against, but we can't preach a lopsided message. We must preach a balanced message. Everybody say balance. So I'll teach you that homosexuality is wrong, but I'll also teach you to love the homosexual and hate the homosexuality. Everybody say balance. I must teach you also to be ready when Jesus comes back, but I still have to teach you the wisdom of how to live on earth until he comes back. Everybody say balance. I must talk about hell and the devil at some point, but I also must teach you about heaven and angels. You just got to beware of a one-sided message. When you go to the church and all they talk about is heaven and angels and God loves you, and I want to start this message off with a joke every week, that's a lopsided message. You can't do that every week. Some week you got to talk about hell. Because if there's a heaven, what? Yeah. There is a hell. If there's God and angels, there is devil and there's demons, right? So we got to preach the balance. We got to teach our singles to stop having sex before marriage. But we also got to preach to married folks, go ahead and have sex sometimes. Amen? Tell somebody balance. So that was funny. Beware of the one message churches. All they preach is one thing. Yeah. The Bible is full of so much that we need in our life. Amen? Amen. So we got to be balanced. Sometime you're going to come and I'm going to preach you crazy and I'm going to be spitting up here preaching hard. And some days I'm just going to teach you. Amen? Everybody say balance. So we're talking about love. And I got to clarify the love we're talking about. We're not talking about the greasy, homosexual, fornicating, adultery love. I mean, you know, I'm married and then I meet this other woman and then all of a sudden I go to my wife and go, baby, we didn't plan it. We didn't try to fall in love, but I'm just in love. So, you know, I'm going to leave you and my four kids. And she's like, and I'm going to get all that child support. You ain't going to have no check. Because love just happens like that, right, Ashley? It just happens. No, that's not the love I'm talking about. It's uncontrollable. You can't control who you fall in love with. You can't control who you fall out of love with. That's a lie. And we're not talking about that kind of love. We're talking about the God kind of love. Look like I'm in somebody's house now. I don't be eavesdropping on y'all. I don't. But it's the Lord. It's the Lord. When we worship, God kind of tells me what I need to talk about. But listen to this. We're talking about the true love. Okay? So I got to clarify what we're talking about. True love. True love. True love. Yeah. True love. Mm-hmm. Not the sinful love. Not the saving all my love for you love. Mm-hmm. Whitney's number one song, first one. Y'all remember that song? A few stolen kisses. Tamika, why was the kisses stolen? Because he was a married man and she was singing about that song. She was singing about adultery. Mm-hmm. And recently we just did an article. B.B. Winers played Saving All My Love For You on a gospel time Sunday morning radio station as a tribute to Whitney Houston. It made no sense. A song about adultery on Christian radio. That's crazy, right? That's not the love we're talking about. We're talking about God's kind of love. We talked about last week the fact that a whole generation has given up on love. We can kind of mark it, the time it started with the release of Tina Turner's movie and song by the same title, What's Love Got to Do With It? She said, what's love but a secondhand emotion? That's not the kind of love we're talking about either. In the song, she said, who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Sound like she went through some stuff. And everybody knows the audaciousness of these lyrics are foolish, but understandably so, because they were written by a woman who loved a drug-addicted musician named Ike, who constantly beat her. Even though many disagree with the lyrics, everyone had empathy for Tina Turner, who was the author. Because this was a song written by a woman who had given up on love. Now, after almost 30 years in ministry, I see that most Christians have given up on love. But the two commands that God gave us in the Word, in the New Testament, was one, to love Him with all of our heart, and the second one was to love our neighbor as ourselves. The problem is that most people see loving your neighbor and loving the Lord as weakness and problematic. And I agree that love has vulnerability and weakness in it. One of the reasons why it's hard to get us to press into praise and worship and love God with all of our heart and mind and soul when we come in here is because, number one, we just told you the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. So then we're in fear and we're tormented because it's always about us and is our hair perfect and what are people going to think? And this is my sister or my brother. They listening to me. And so if they see me acting weird, then when they at home, they're going to embarrass me and they're going to bring it up and I'm just scared and I'm afraid and I don't want to be weak and I don't want to show weakness and I don't want to get so far up into worship lunging that tears start rolling down my face and my messes my makeup up and my mascara and I'm a man and I don't cry and so I'm not going to really get into worship like that because then my heart will be softened and then I'll begin to weep in front of people and I don't want to do that. But here's some things I said about love last week. Love may not be reciprocated. Thank you, Lisa. You may love somebody that don't love you back. I think they had a song about that in a little time. You love somebody that don't love you back. Who's that? Bobby Womack. Love may not be reciprocated. You may put love out there and never get it back. What does that mean? That mean you was weak? That mean you did something wrong? Because you love somebody, didn't love you back. Guess what? God loved the whole world. And He gave His Son. And they didn't love Him back. The Bible said men rather darkness than light. Is Jesus weak? Is God weak? Because He loved people that don't love Him back. He loves some of us and we won't love Him back. We won't even lift our hands and open our mouth and love Him. We're not weak because we love somebody that don't love us back. Love might be one-sided. You ever been in a relationship, Carmen, and it's just you? You pulling the whole thing? It's always you. It's just you. You. We go out. I got to pay. Something wrong with that. Love may be one-sided. Love may be hazardous to your emotions. I mean, it ain't going to always make you happy, love. Lord have mercy. 20 years of marriage, you always been smiling, right, baby? You had to cry sometimes. I don't have to cry sometimes. Sometimes we got on each other's nerve, Tim. Amen. Had to go in the corner and cry and come back and make up. I like to make it up for him. I like to make it up for him, baby. You know what I'm talking about? When you argue, you go in the corner, you come back and make up. But sometimes it's hazardous to your emotions, love is. Love may cause temporary blindness. You don't see some things because you love a person. You're looking past some things. Because, you know, I work with this because I love them. I look past You know, the little mole on her face with the hair coming out of it, because she's still sweet. I love her. And when we get together, you know, maybe we get some surgery, get that removed. But I look past that, Tim, because I love her. Right? Love may require some kissing up. We talked about this in employment, right? Me and Ashley had a good conversation this week about the fact that sometimes when you're on a job, you're going to have to take some stuff. Right, Ashley?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you might have to shut your mouth and take it. Right, Super Dave? Even when they wrong, and you can't say nothing back because you're trying to have a job tomorrow, right, Tim? So you may have to just walk in love and don't say nothing. And love may cause you to get taken advantage of. We talked about that last week. Now, I want to clarify some other stuff about love. Next slide. I want to clarify some other stuff about love to bring a balance to this, because I don't want, some of y'all, especially, I got some young teenage girls in here, and they might use some of this message. I heard they've been using my message to get their own little way and stuff. Pastor Ryan said, I'm too old to get a whooping and all this kind of stuff. So I want to make sure I clarify some things. Number one, love is not all accepting of everything without judgment. Some people, now this is the homosexual stuff, okay? They tell you, if you love me, then you accept everything that I do, and you don't say what I'm doing is wrong. Okay? Now this was something that was introduced to psychology by a guy named Carl Rogers. And it's a long term, if you write this down. But it's called unconditional positive regard. Unconditional positive regard, which simply means that no matter what you say, you know, and therapists use this in therapeutic settings because they're trying to get their client to open up to them. So there's nothing that you can tell me, well, I just want to kill my mother. You know, and as a therapist, I just got to sit there and nod and smile and say, okay, why do you feel that? I can't look shocked. I can't look like, how dare you think that, you know? It's unconditional positive regard. And so when the hippie movement in the 60s started the make love, not war, see, this was a counterfeit love. It's not the amazing love we're talking about. We got a lot of counterfeit love out there. And so they say, make love, not war. Just love, you know. And so what they were talking about, okay, make love, you're talking about getting married. No. We're talking about free love. We're talking about, you can just, you know, love anybody, love everybody, no matter what they're into, you know. If you're into heroin, you know, I can't judge you, man. That's your deal. That's your thing. Right on, you know, they had all that hipster hippie language, you know. Right on to you, brother. If that's your thing, you like to smoke weed, that's your thing. If you're a homosexual, that's your thing. If you white swap and, you know, y'all into threesomes and stuff, that's your thing. We don't judge you. We just love everybody. That's the hippie movement when everybody was high and stoned and strung out on heroin and cocaine and marijuana, and they were just, on the hill of Woodstock listening to Jimi Hendrix, and it's called free love. It's a counterfeit love. We accept anything without judgment. I can't judge you. Don't you judge me. And what preachers told them back then was, it's not unconditional positive regard, because when a Christian shows up, as we saw this year with the Chick-fil-A, the whole thing, when the man said, I don't believe in gay marriage, then the homosexuals who had promoted 40 years before unconditional positive regard, which means whatever you believe is fine and whatever I believe is fine, the homosexuals say, no, he can't believe that. Let's shut him down. It's not unconditional. It's conditional. It's their condition. Long as you into what I'm into, long as you don't say nothing about what I'm doing, then it's love, no? And so love is not the accepting of everything without judgment. Even the people that tell you to tolerate the homosexual tolerance, guess who they have no tolerance for? People like me, who disagree with homosexuality. They say, you're intolerant. We can't tolerate you. Well, if they can't tolerate me, Ashley, isn't that intolerant? I thought we was accepting everybody. I can't have a different opinion. Well, I know I'm confusing some of y'all. Because that's what they think. You got to tolerate. It's tolerance. It's tolerance. Okay. Tolerate me. I say homosexuality is a sin. You can't tolerate that? No. That's intolerance. Love is not staying in a toxic relationship. Now for my girls, let me clarify. Cause I know I said don't give up on love. So that's why I said don't give up on love. So I was getting ready, you know. I know he in jail, and I know, you know, he done killed his last three girlfriends. But you know, I'm not gonna give up on love. No. That's not what I'm talking about. Love is not staying in toxic relationships. Abraham, we gave an example, you know. We talked about nouns. There are some people that need to exit your life. There are some people you need to get away from. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? If they're not going where you're going, they're going to take you in the wrong direction. I do a whole thing and I'll preach it one day. I teach it. It's called relation trips. Every relationship is taking you on a trip. It's taking you somewhere. If you're not pulling them, they're pulling you. So there are some relationships that are toxic. Abraham brought his cousin, his nephew, Lot with him. And then it caused strife. So Abraham said, look, man, whichever way you choose to go, let there be no strife between us. If you choose to go that way, I'll go this way. Abraham still loved his brother Lot, his nephew Lot. But he couldn't be with him. They were bad for each other. It was toxic. When Lot got in trouble and he chose Sodom and Gomorrah, where the homosexuals were. That's the lane he chose. So when he went into Sodom and Gomorrah, he got in trouble and they captured Sodom in the city that he was in. And they called Abraham. Abraham, your nephew's in trouble. Abraham went and took his men, defeated that king, and brought Lot back because he loved him. But just because you love somebody, don't mean you got to stay with them. Some people can't stay together. Sometimes as you get older, even in a household, you know, I've heard black women say this, can't be but one woman in this house. So you start getting older, you start becoming a woman. So then the house gets too small because one of y'all got to leave. I tell my son, ain't gonna be but one man in this house. So you get your britches get too big, then you're gonna have to find somewhere else to go. Right? And it don't mean I don't love them. Just mean we can't be in the same house together. So there are some relationships that are toxic. You poison for them, they're poison to you. You're not good for them, they're not good for you. And guess what? If you love them, Rashan, you let them go on to get something better. Because I'm not good for you. That's a good breakup speech, eh? Baby, you know I love you. It ain't about nothing like that. I just don't think I'm good enough for you right now. I'm bad for you. I think you need to go on. Just however you need to do it. But love is not staying in bad relationships. I'm getting my brains beat out every day by my husband. But I'm staying because Pastor Ron said don't give up on love. How about let's give up on being stupid.
Yeah.
Okay? Number three, love is not being a doormat to be walked on. That's not what we're talking about. We got the greatest example of love by Jesus. When they got ready to toss Jesus over the cliff the first time, they got ready to kill him. You know, on the cross, that wasn't the first time they tried to kill Jesus. Did you know that? They tried to kill him before. And at one point, he said something from the Bible that they disagreed with. And they picked him up and dropped him over the cliff. The Bible said he got down, walked, you know, right in the midst of them and escaped. He didn't stay there and say, y'all throw me down the cliff some more. He didn't hang around with the people that wanted to kill him. He didn't hang out with the folk that he knew hated him. Those weren't the folk he went to dinner with. Those weren't the folk that he hang out. And some of us as Christians, we feel like there's some mandate for us to go around the people that want to keep putting the kick me sign on our back and kicking us in the butt every 5 minutes, and we can't do nothing. Oh, I just love you in the name of the Lord. No, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a Christian, I'm a man, I love God, I'm a preacher, but if you kick me in my tail, you're going to have some problems. We're going to have some problems. Because being a Christian is not being a doormat. Amen. Now let's look at the scripture and we're going to close out. Don't give up on love. So we told you what love is. We've told you what love isn't. But let's talk about what this passage is saying. Number one, verse 16, it says that we've known and believed the love that God has to us. That God is love. So the next slide is, what is love? What does love do? Number one, God is love. Don't give up on love. Don't give up on God. You got to understand that all of God is love, Roshan. So then, the stuff that we think is just love, but this stuff is something else, is wrong. Here's what I'm saying. People say, how can loving God send people to hell? That's just, if he loves everybody, how could he send them to hell? Well, it's not if he loves everybody. He is love, the Bible says. So that's not up for grabs. What needs to change is your definition of love. Just because I love a person don't mean that I won't give them what they ask for. The people that's going to hell are the people that asked to go to hell. You know why? Because they rejected God. They rejected Jesus. And I preached this many years. I said this. God is so loving that he will allow you to be for eternity with who you chose to be with. That's how much he loves you. You chose the devil. You didn't choose God. He's going to let you be with the devil forever. You chose evil over good. He's going to let you be with all the evil people forever. You chose to ridicule him and to exalt atheism and Darwinism and say creationism is crazy and God is a hoax. He's going to allow you to be with those people forever. That is love. Because guess what? Hell would be having to be with God if you don't believe him. Woo! I just preached right there. Hell would be having to be in heaven with Jesus, Caesar, for eternity. And all we're doing is worshiping God and worshiping Jesus, and you don't believe in him. Wouldn't that be hell? So if you choose against God, God loves you enough to let you be with who you chose. If God is loving, how could he send you that? That's what people say. So, settle in your mind that God is love. Everything he does is love. Everything Jesus did was love. You know, one time he went to the temple, he overturned the tables, and he whipped people out of the temple. Did you know that, Carmen? He took a whip and whipped people out. Did you know that? Turned the tables over. People had money on them. They were selling stuff in the church. And turned it over and he whipped people. God is love. So that must mean that what he did was loving. Every time God does something that's loving don't mean you're going to like it. I love my children. Any child in here of mine ain't never got a whipping. Raise your hand. Of mine. I done had to whip them sometimes. It didn't feel like I loved them, Carmen. But I did. Settle in your mind that God is love. Number two. Listen to this. And I'm almost done. It says, hearing is love that we love God. I'm sorry. Let me go to 16. And we have known and loved. And we've known and believed the love that God has. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has tormented. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Here's where I want you to start. Here's your homework. Look at all those areas that you are afraid. When it comes to your relationships, look at those areas where you fear. That's the place where you need to be made perfect in love. I'm afraid if they ever leave me, what would happen to me? Then you're not loving them out of love, you're loving them out of fear. Let them go and see, do they come back? Right, Super Dave? That's love. If you love them, don't choke them because you're afraid. So many girls, so many guys, they're going to call every 2 minutes. Did he pick up the call? Did he pick up? That's fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Love overcomes everything. You know why you can't worship like you want to? Fear. You're afraid. Let it flow out of your heart. You know why more people don't get healed of AIDS and stuff? Brother Tim? Because Christians who got the power over sickness, we germaphobes. How you going to get an HIV person healed and you're scared of the germ? Fear. Fear restricts you. Fear closes you off. We're going to do a mission to the homeless before this year's out. Go feed and stuff like that. How can you minister to a homeless person down and you're afraid of them? You're afraid of how they smell. You're afraid. How can you feed them? How can you extend your hand? How can you give somebody a hug? Heard about Steve Smith, Carolina Panthers. Before his game 2 weeks ago, he's doing his mission in the city where they go to the homeless. Watch this, Tamisha. They give the homeless shoes, but before they give them shoes, they give them a foot rub. I thought, man, this guy ain't even know, he ain't no major professed Christian. He's an athlete. And they have him on camera. You can probably Google this on YouTube. Football player, Steve Smith, man. One of the baddest receivers in the United States. One of the fastest. He's out there on his knees. Rubbing the homeless feet. He said, "That feel okay? Try these shoes on." That's love. But when you're afraid, you can't love. Here's my question. How many times have you missed an opportunity to love or show love because you was afraid? I'm afraid. I can't go into the AIDS ward. You know, I've been into the AIDS ward many times or where the terminal sick are and they tell you to put these things on, put the mask on. I walk right in there. I put no mask on in the name of Jesus. And we've seen people get healed. How can I help you and I'm scared of you? See, that's what the homosexuals say. You're homophobic. I'm not afraid of you. I don't went to so many homosexuals. My wife is a witness. Lesbians, we actually helped many lesbians come out of the lifestyle. Homosexual men, transvestites, transgender. I hug them. I lay hands on them. I pray for them. Hug them, embrace them as they cry. People with AIDS. I'm not afraid of you. I love you, but I love you enough to tell you the truth, partner. If I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to sit there and watch you go to hell talking about tolerance. Because the Bible says that if you live in that lifestyle, you're going to hell. So if I really love you, I got to tell you the truth. I got to tell you, you can't live with your boyfriend and keep having sex. I got to tell you the truth. Love overcomes everything. Number 3. If you are born again, if you are a Christian, then your new nature is love. Here's what it is, guys. And we're going to minister right there. Come on, musicians. Amazing love right there. Listen to them. There's love in you. As a Christian, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit is shed. The love of Christ is brought in our heart. We've got love in us. It's fighting to come out. But guess what? So many times, fear stops. We're afraid. There's somebody here this morning. Do you want to give your life to Christ? But you're afraid. What does it mean? What am I going to have to stop doing? What are people going to say? Somebody here this morning says, you know what? I want to join this church. But you know what? People are afraid of commitment. If I commit to him, they're going to be looking for me if I ain't there. So many people live a non-committed life because I ain't going to say I'll join, I ain't going to say this or that because then they're going to be looking for me to do something and I don't want to be afraid. It's fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Why don't most men want to get married? I said, you know what? Fear. I told somebody. Me and my wife, we had dated 6 years. And then all the hand holding you can do, all the kissing you can do. And Carmen, unbelievable. You look at how you look at me. I never proposed to her. She gave me an ultimatum down. She said, look, if you gonna stay with me, we're gonna have to get married. If we're not gonna get married, I'm gonna have to move on with my life. I can't keep. So we got married, and I knew I was gonna marry her. But it's just, I think they made a movie about this phase of months. It's when did you do it, you know? Because for God, that means no more girls ever. No more nothing. She the only one forever. Burn your black book. Don't call nobody else. Can't see nobody else. You see somebody else, ain't no more flirting, nothing. That's it. So we went and got married. We eloped December 20th, 1991. I was standing there crying, Carmen, in front of the judge. After the day, she said, what you crying for? Fear. 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 I was afraid. Afraid of commitment. We bought our first house. This is funny. You know, it's a 30-year mortgage, Tim. 30 years. And you got to sign all these papers. So I'm sitting there with my wife and our real estate agent. I said, can I read through the papers one more time? I'm like, can you sign the papers, please? We'd already built the house. What was it? Scared. I was afraid. Commitment down. Fear has torment. Close your eyes. Everybody. How many of y'all in here say, you know what, Pastor Randy? I know what you're talking about the torment of fear.